Happy Christmas Eve! Glad to see everybody here this morning. It is here.
Yes.
We're glad you're here. So we have a couple of announcements. I have to remind you that we have gleaners on Wednesdays. And she has Be Here by 10:55 at 11 o'clock. They open up the food and I think it goes pretty fast. But if you know someone that is in need of food, be sure and call. You can either call the church. Sherry or Helen will help you out. We also have our Zoom prayer gathering on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock. If you go to our webpage, you click on prayer meeting, well, you'll come right up with us. If you have Zoom, you have to make sure you have Zoom, but it works good. Or there's also a phone number you can just connect by
Excuse
phone.
Me, but it looks like it's snowing out.
It does.
I just had to get excited for a second. Oh, my phone said around 10, and I thought, yeah, whatever. And there it is. Oh, my gosh. White Christmas Eve. Okay, sorry.
We also have our mailbox back there, so there should be Christmas cards in the mailbox. So be sure and check your mailbox before you leave.
Wow.
Our monthly potluck, January 7th, so not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, we have our potluck. And I think I'm going to be cooking pork tenderloins, and we'll have pulled pork sandwiches.
Oh.
So if you want to kind of go around that.
Okay, that sounds good.
That sound okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're starting something new, and the first Sunday, which will be the 7th also, we're going to have a hymn sing Sunday. So the first of every month, you guys get to pick the songs. And we'll sing.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be fun.
She's already picking some.
Okay. We just thought it would be fun. So it will be fun. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have this place that we can come and just worship you. I just ask a special blessing on everyone, those that can come and those that are at home watching, Lord. We just lift this time up to you that we can just concentrate on Jesus and just what you did for us by sending your Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day. I lift Pastor Teresa to you, Lord. We just give her over to you, Lord, that we know that she follows you, that she gives us things to think about all week with all the blessings that you have given us. So we just praise you. We praise you for her. And we just thank you for this time that we have together. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So before we start singing, I have a present for Teresa.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Whoa,
this is heavy.
We love you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, my Gales Creek family. So Sister Judy always says she loves me, and I can never, ever tell you how much I love you all. Just thank you.
We love you.
Thank you.
We do.
From day one, when I just came as a guest speaker, I was just pulpit supply. But you welcomed me with such open arms, and so I love you, each and every one. Thank you, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I have it right here, but they're not here.
Well, yeah, but people haven't had a chance to put things in.
Yes, they have. Where were you?
We can give it to them.
But they're not here. All right.
All right, so now we have our Advent.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love. And the topic of our message of our reading today is a prayer for healing this Christmas season. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave, Psalms 107, verses 19 and 20. The Christmas season is always the time of year filled with so much joy and hope. A spirit of giving and celebrations with family and friends. Yet that may also be the very reason why those suffering deep heartache, loss, illness, or struggle during this season may feel the weight of their burdens even more deeply. Maybe many feel alone or forgotten. Maybe some wonder why God isn't answering their prayers or why his answer seems so long in coming. If you find yourself there right now or are praying for a loved one through a difficult time, take heart in this word from Psalms. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. We have a place we can go to. We can cry out to God and be assured he does hear and he cares. God saves, he did then, and he does still. He sent forth his word and he healed them, and God never changes. He rescued them and he rescues us today. Through Christ alone, we can find true healing from physical illness and pain, from past wounds and difficult memories, from the heartache of deep loss, from addiction, despair, and even in the relationships that have been broken. God already knows of the wounds we've carried. He knows the pain we've felt. He knows how much we've tried to let go and fix things in our own power. Let's set aside our fears and move towards him today in faith. He is able. He is powerful. He cares. He heals. He restores. He redeems. Let us pray. Dear God, you already know the pain we've carried, the deep wounds, the feelings of loss and heartache. You know how we've so often lost hope, wondering if we'll ever be truly free from this burden. It feels too great some days. We desperately need your healing and grace. We need your peace and our hope restored. We need to be reminded that you work on behalf of those you love, constantly, powerfully, and completely. Forgive us for trying to fix our situations all on our own. Forgive us for running in different directions and spinning our wheels to find help, when true help and healing must be found first in you. Forgive us for forgetting how much we need you. Above everyone and everything else, we come to you and bring you the places we are hurting. You see where no one else can fully see or understand. You know all the places where we need to be set free, even those we're not aware of. We ask for your healing and grace to cover every broken place, every wound, every heartache. Thank you that you are able to do far more than we could ever imagine. Thank you for your mighty power that acts on behalf of your children. We reach out to you and know that you are restoring and redeeming every place of difficulty, every battle, for your greater glory. Thank you that you will never waste our pain and suffering. We love you and we need you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we're going to praise the Lord. We have Christmas hymns. We're going to start with Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare. Let heaven and nature sing, let heaven and nature sing, let heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more the sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the ever Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, listen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give the second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
First Noel.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. They look at us.
To be able to lift our offering today. Thank you, my dear friend Joshua and Jeremy. God has given us so much, and each week at offering time, we have the ability to give back just a portion of what God has blessed us with. So we don't pressure people to give. It's an honor to give. It's a blessing to be able to support God's ministry, not only here in Gales Creek, but around the globe. So let us do that. Let's give whatever we can to honor God and his giving to us. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to give financially. We give in so many other ways, and we recognize the importance of giving to the house of the Lord so that we can pay our light bill, that we can keep heat on, that we can feed those who are hungry, that we can gather together each week and praise your name. We thank you, God, for this opportunity. Bless the giver, bless our gift, and bless those who really would like to give something but can't. You know their heart, Lord God. Meet our needs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For those of you at home, of course, watching us online, you can give electronically. We're so fancy these days. You don't have to mail in a check. You can just give online. We come now to that portion in our worship service where we get to share with our brothers, our sisters, our siblings in Christ what God is doing in our lives. So if we have any praise reports, anything you want to share that you know, hey, God has done this thing and I want to give him praise for it, we will also take time to listen to your prayer concerns if you have something that is heavy on your heart and you want the saints of God to come alongside you and pray with you. We'd like to take those as well. And I already have a hand. Miss Haley. Yes, God is good. So Haley is sharing a praise and a prayer request for one of her customers at the store that she works. A while back, her husband, the customer's husband, was hit by a truck. And apparently the doctors didn't expect him to really survive because they were like, well, we can keep him medicated, ease his pain, and then we'll just let nature take its course. However, God is good. And his wife, the customer, said, no, we're not doing that. And thankfully, God has answered her prayers and through her persistence, her husband now has the use of his right side, of his right arm. There's still brain damage on the left. So I don't know if you know, but biologically, your left side of your brain operates the right side of your body and vice versa for the right. So that's why he had that paralyzation on his right side. But God is good. God is good. So we're going to continue to lift him up, he and his wife, that he will continue to be healed. And maybe we'll get a praise report from that. And also Haley wants to praise the Lord just for being able to get up here, to wake up and get to church on time. Praise the Lord. Because I'm ditto to that. Amen. Anyone else with a praise report, prayer request? Yes, tell me your name, sir.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So thank you for sharing. And did I, Joel? Is that Joe? Okay. So Joe is with us visiting. He's originally from, they live, have been living in Gaston, but wants to give praise to God for friends that have come through. They were recently displaced, so they're looking for a home, and their friends here in Gales Creek are allowing them to crash and be with them. And they're working on getting shelter permanently. So praise God. And we'll be praying for you and your family that happens. That happens for you. You know, yeah. Yeah. To God. And that's the goodness about God. He's with us through it all. Amen. He will see us through. And I know that God has a place for you and your family. Thank you for being here with us today. Yes, Brother Joshua. Eleven families, praise the Lord. Amen. Joshua is sharing that we were able to, through our food ministry, serve 11 families. So praise God for that. Those families' lives are changed, all for God's glory. So thank you, Joshua, for continuing to work in that ministry. And Josh is saying, thank God just for another Christmas. Amen. All right. Oh, okay. I'm going to come back to Haley. We got Jeremy, Brother Jeremy. Yes. Okay. Jeremy's request is for his dad, Brother Bill. Brother Bill is usually the person who comes and lifts our, well, he and Pastor Ivan change with praying and lifting our tithes and our offerings. And both of them are out ill. So we'll remember Ivan Marble family and Brother Bill, who is also ill today. Thank you, Jeremy, for reminding us that. And I saw a hand up here. Yes, Sister. That's a praise. So Lori is sharing that your granddaughter, Megan. Okay, so Megan had to get all four wisdom teeth out, along with a couple additional teeth. But while she was healing, she got exciting news. She got accepted into nursing school. And so praise the Lord for that. I know, right? So she's doing a little hallelujah dance, but that also means she's going to need some money to pay for tuition and the books and all the things. So let's rejoice along with Megan and family that she's got some good stuff happening in her future, and also pray for God's continued provision. Who else? I thought I saw another. Okay, Debbie and then Haley. So for those listening at home, you probably couldn't hear Debbie. She has a very huge praise. I was rubbing it in earlier when she was telling me about all her shenanigans. She recently retired. And so she was telling me all the things she's going to be doing now that she's a free bird. Praise the Lord. One day that'll be me, just not today. You're right. Not today. God is so good. But she also wants us to be praying for, to continue to pray for Marcy. If you remember, Marcy was her previous dog sitter. Marcy's dad went into the hospital a week or so ago, had to be intubated, but then they removed the tubing and he was improving, but now he's declining again. So let's remember Marcy. And so Marcy is the executor for him, and it's a hard road ahead. So let's continue to lift Marcy up, that she will be prepared for her dad's leaving, and he will as well. Hopefully, are they believers, Debbie? Do you know? Okay, all right. Her grandfather was an Episcopalian pastor, and so he's passed that down, but left the legacy of Christianity in the family. Amen. So let's pray for a good home going for Marcy's dad, for the rest of the family to be able to adjust. You know, even as believers, we know we're going to go be with Jesus, but it's still hard to see our loved ones go. So let's remember Marcy. Back to Miss Haley. Yes. Yes. So let's pray for Haley. She's going to be driving solo, traveling back and forth to Eugene. You know, it's Christmas time. It's time to be with family and friends, and so she's going to be doing that. Don't stay up too late. Make sure you get plenty of rest, Haley. I'm telling you. That helps us. Okay. Just saying. I know. So let's do that as a body. Make sure we're getting rest when we have to drive those long distances, because that's what can get us into an ugly predicament, is not getting enough sleep. Anyone else? Praise. Yes, Brother Gene. Thank you for that reminder. Yeah. So Brother Gene is saying he is thankful for just to be able to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. It's not about Santa and getting all the gifts on our wish list. It's about celebrating the advent of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then he wants us to remember to pray for, lift up our military folks, our men and women who are serving around the globe, because they're not with their families. Many are deployed and not be able to come home and celebrate the holidays. So let's remember them. All right, if there are no others, well, let's pray. Lord God, again, we thank you for this day. We magnify your name. You are so holy. You are so righteous. You are so good and merciful and kind to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you that we can gather together in our nation to share our faith and to talk about who you are in our lives. There are some places around the globe they're not able to do that. So we don't take it for granted. We say thank you, God. Thank you that we can celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. Thank you. We think of our military folks who are serving around the globe, many not able to be with their own families to celebrate the holidays. Bless them, Lord God. Keep them safe. And we thank you for their service. We want to lift up the praise reports. Thank you for getting Haley here. Thank you for getting all of us here. We thank you for that, Lord God. And we praise you for being able to support 11 families with Christmas meals this time of year. We thank you, God. We rejoice that Megan was accepted into nursing school. And we know, Lord God, you're going to provide, give her all of the tuition and all the things that she needs. Bring it to her. Put people in her path that can show her and guide her. And we thank you, God, for thank you for such a wonderful opportunity to be trained so that she can take care of others. Lord, we also want to lift up the customer that Haley was speaking of, whose husband was hit by a truck. Continue to heal his body, Lord God. We thank you for doing that. And I pray that you will get into the spirits of those around him who need salvation. Bring salvation to those who are lost. It could be a nurse aide. It could be one of the physicians. It could be another patient. Bring salvation, Lord God, through his testimony. Save him and his wife if they do not know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, God, for doing it. We thank you that Haley is out in the community shining her light. Thank you, God. And we pray for her safety as she drives back and forth by herself to Eugene to be with family and friends. We thank you, God, for Brother Bill and for Ivan and his family. Lord, they are sick in the body, but we know that they are strong in their spirit. Heal all of them, Lord God. And Father, please keep clear, healthy, so that when spring break comes around, she can finally get her tonsils out, Jesus. I know it was so disappointing for her to not be able to do that now. So I just pray you would just touch her body. She needs to be in school, and she wants to be in school. She wants to be healthy. So we pray that you would just guide that whole process. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice that Debbie has retired. And we thank you for her concern about Marcy and her dad. We lift Marcy up. We lift that whole situation up. It's hard to watch our loved ones go, and yet we know they're going to be with. So comfort all hearts and all minds in Marcy's family. Let her dad be prepared to come and be with you. And we thank you, God, for doing it. And lastly, Lord, we want to thank you for bringing Joe and his family here to be with us today, to give witness to who you are in their life. They're going through a really tough time right now. They could have chosen to just stay home and be mad. And why, God, is this happening to us? But instead, they chose to be with the saints, to come and praise your name and say, we know our God is going to take care of us. And so we pray to that end, Lord God, be glorified in their lives. Find them the right place to be so that they don't have to keep moving from place to place. I pray that you would let their light shine because there are others around them that also need to know who you are. And despite the challenges that they have, that they know that you are providing, that you care and that you love them, and that their brothers and sisters in Christ also love them. Thank you, God. Be with us now as we study your word. Inspire us to live more like you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right. Let us move to the word of God. For those of you who have not been with us, oh, I should have done the Christmas. Sorry. My bad. Okay. You were? Okay. All right. So the deacon says we were going to skip it, so I'm going with the deacon. We usually have a children's song and prayer, so we can still pray for our children because it's important that you know who Christ is for yourself. I tell people all the time, I grew up in church. My mother introduced me to Christ as a little person, so I've always had Jesus as my friend. I cannot imagine living without Jesus, but there are so many who do. And so I pray that you all will know Jesus now at your young age and that you can shine your light and be salt for God. Amen. All right, so we have been in the Advent season. So those of you who are unfamiliar with Advent, it's that time of year where we pause and we reflect on the coming of Christ. And so I'll give you a synopsis, a review of what we've been doing the last few weeks, because we've been lighting our Advent candles on our wreath. Again, the season of Advent is a time to contemplate the arrival of Christ and the promise of his return. So it's not just about, oh, we're rejoicing because of baby Jesus. Baby Jesus grew up. Baby Jesus died for us. He is coming back. And so Advent reminds us, not only did he come a first time, but he's coming back a second time. and we need to be ready. His first coming gives us hope of his second coming. So Advent reminds us to think about how we are living here and now, and it helps us to prepare for Christ's return because we intentionally stop and reflect on the past year. What do we do this year? We can ask ourselves, how are we reflecting who God is in our lifestyle and the way that we live? You know, we had an interesting conversation, my sister and I, when we were driving here. And by the way, shout out to Renee Watson, my sister, who's in town. Woo-hoo. We were talking about, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian, right? You can spout off verses that you've memorized since you were a kid. Because we used to do that with growing up. I have lots of scripture memorized, right? We had little contests and games that we would play. Does that really mean that you know God? Does it mean that you're in a good relationship with God? No, it doesn't. But some people actually think it's all the pomp and circumstance of looking holy. Because if I make you feel bad, like, I'm so much better than Sister Judy because I do this and I do that and I feed the... That doesn't impress God. You might impress other people, but it doesn't impress God. He wants your heart. He wants to be in relationship with you. And so during Advent, we can sit down and I'm not judging the rest of y'all. I'm not worried about, well, what does Sister Vicky do this year that reflects Jesus in her life? That's not my job. My job is to sit down and reflect on my life. How am I showing others around me who God is? That's what we're supposed to be doing, getting ready for him to come. So we've used the candle themes from the Advent wreath to guide our reflection. And so previously, we talked about a reason to hope. That was the first candle is hope. And then the second one was peace. Pastor Fred was with us for that week. And then last week, we talked about a reason to be joyful, because the third candle is joy. And today, as Brother Gene read about and lit, that fourth candle is the candle of love. So that's today's theme, a reason to love. The white candle, just FYI, is the Christ candle. You actually light it, if we were a high church, if we were Catholic or a church that has a lot of liturgy, we would actually have a separate service just for Christmas, and then we would light the white candle, the Christ candle. But we're halfway saved. We lighten it today because we're not coming back tomorrow. Yes, but Jesus, right, Jesus is every day. So you know, I had this funny conversation with one of my coworkers. She was talking about just being frantic for the Christmas season. She's a believer. And I was like, oh, but honey, you don't need to be, because Christmas is every day. We know that Jesus was born, and we are waiting for him to return. So every day is about Jesus. So for people who are just like, we only celebrate Christ during December, Christ should be in your life all year long, every single day, all the time. Because he is the very reason we live. He gives us hope. He gives us a reason to be joyful. He brings us peace when the rest of the world is absolutely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, insane. We can still stand and on God's word that we know he cares for us, right? So it also is very cool by design, I believe, that the three of the four candles are fruit of the Spirit. You know, if you go to Galatians 5, you can see the fruit of the Spirit there. And so hope, joy, and love are there. It doesn't mean that peace is not. It is, you know, Christ himself taught about being peacemakers, so that peace is important to us as well. But this is why it's the just practicing the wreath, the Advent wreath, gives us good reflection points to stop and think about, how is God showing up in my life? Am I joyful? Am I trying to be a peacemaker? Am I loving the people around me? And so we'll be reading 1 John chapter 4. Now, some people would be thinking, but that's not a Christmas scripture. But love is all about Christmas. It's the reason why God sent his son, right? So follow me, whichever translation you prefer, but I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 4. And if you were in Vacation Bible School, that's the song. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. But we're going to go through verse 12. So John says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God." Why? John says, "For God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." So John says, verse 11, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." Amen to God's word. The message that John has for the reader is quite clear. He writes about what love is and what it looks like. So first thing he tells us is that God is love. Just go back to verse 7. Verse 7 says that God's very nature defines what love is, and then further tells us that if we do not love others, we cannot truly love God. So understanding that God is the prime example of love is foundational for understanding one of God's characteristics, because that's his nature, to love, to be loving, and how he expects us to be since we were created in his image. Because God created us in his image, he expects us to love others because he is a loving God. Now, the letter to the Corinthian church shares explicit examples of what love can look like in daily life. And I like Paul, I always say that he's a very practical Christian. It's hard. I think people struggle with their Christianity when they don't understand how to apply the word of God to their life. You can be very super, you know, spiritual and holy, and intellectually ascend to the thought of God. But then there's a practical way of actually knowing God for yourself. And how does God show up in your life? What does it look like to a non-believer or even to other Christians if God is really in your life, if you're really in a relationship with him? And so Corinthians tells us, well, this is what love can look like every day. So listen to chapter 13, verse 4 says, I'm just going to read verse 4 through 7. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all." That's what love does. And why is he talking about love in that way? Because he's saying this is who God is. God is love. This is how God shows up for us and in the world towards his creation. So John's description of love, when we're back in his letter, is a description of how God shows up in our lives because of who he is. He is kind, just like what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13. God is kind, he's not rude, he's not selfish. If God were selfish, he never would have sent Jesus. He never would have. He would have just left us on our own. These people have sinned. They don't believe in me anymore. I'm done with them. He could have done that. Done. You're on your own. But he didn't do that. Time and time again, he has entered into humanity's lives and experience and tried to show us the way back to him. He did not forsake us. That is love. He is, however, a jealous God, and he only wants to be worshiped, him alone, and have first place in our lives. It's very fascinating how God wants us to love him and then turn around and love humanity around us. And he has parameters of what that should look like. And as he would say in today's vernacular, don't get it twisted. Just because I love you and have sacrificed my son for you, that doesn't mean you get to go and act any old kind of way. No, I expect you to be like me. I need you to love others. But he says, I am a jealous God. When you go back to, I remember reading this as a kid, back to the Old Testament, there's lots of scriptures where Jesus, where God talks about being a jealous God. I'm not going to read all of them, but I have a handful of them for you. Exodus 34, verse 14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Like, I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who's sending my Messiah. Don't you go being with the mother gods. You need to have me first. Exodus 20, verse 5. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. These are God's words. He's speaking them about himself. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. There's punishment. There's a penalty. There's consequences when you don't choose God first, when you know that you should be choosing God first. Because again, he's talking to the people of Israel. Deuteronomy 4, verse 24 says this, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He's a jealous God. And then in 2 Corinthians 11, I thought to myself, God is talking about himself being a jealous God in the New Testament? Because I always remember from Old Testament. But in 2 Corinthians, listen to what it says, chapter 11. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betroth you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. So God, from way back, before he even created us, his design was, I know they're going to sin. I know they're going to fall out of a good relationship with me, but I have a plan to win them back through Jesus Christ, my Messiah. And for that reason, I need you to not be following after these other gods that ain't doing nothing for you. I am doing all the things for you. Love me first. I am a jealous God. So back to Old Testament scripture, Deuteronomy 6. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. Those are strong words he's saying to the people of Israel. Look at here, people. I just got you out of the land of Egypt. Did I not do the right thing by you? Did I not save you? Then act like you know who I am. Stop forgetting all of my goodness. And Isaiah says in chapter 42, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. So he's saying, you should be praising me, not those gods that you've made with your own hands. What kind of a God is that? They're not even real gods. So that we know that we serve a jealous God, and he loves us. So here's where we see God's justification for his jealousy through the prophet Elijah. When Elijah, if you follow his story, if you know about the prophet, there's this point in his life when he is actually fleeing from Queen Jezebel. You can read that story in 1 Kings. And he's complaining. This is what happened. Elijah is complaining to God about what's happening. So listen to just a few verses of what he says. 1 Kings 19, verse 10 says this, because Elijah is telling God what he's been doing. I have zealously, in some translations say jealously, served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars and they killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, which isn't actually true, but that's how he felt. And now they're trying to kill me too. So Elijah's having a pity party because of what has gone down. And he's saying to God, essentially, I've been jealous on your behalf because your people are out here acting out. They're serving other gods, and now they're killing all the prophets. They're even coming for me. But I've been jealous on your behalf. And so, you know, if you follow that story, God sets him straight. He goes, well, technically you're not the only one, but I hear you. So God steps in and helps Elijah out. But when it comes to verse 7 of the text, of our original text, when you go back to 1 John chapter 4, I hadn't really thought about really thought about the meaning of bearing all and all the things. So, because when you read verse 7, it says, bear, believe, hope, endure all things. And what does that mean exactly for love to do those things? Because I get the other verses, right? Suffers long. I'm sorry, in Corinthians, love suffers long and is kind. That's what God does. He's very long-suffering, right? He put up with all the antics of the people of Israel. And FYI, he's putting up with all of our antics because humanity has not changed, right? He is long-suffering and he is kind to us. And it also says love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. So we're not supposed to be proud and think that we're better than other people just because we've memorized a few scriptures or because we go to church every Sunday. Like, it's not about that. And so I get not behaving rudely, not seeking your own. That means don't just stay amongst church people or people who are like you, people who have the same education level or the people who live in your same neighborhood or go to the same school, or all the things. God is saying, get out of that. You can't reach other people if you're only around your same little circle every single day. So you don't seek your own. You don't seek those who can give you what you can give them, right? I wash your back, you wash mine, and forget those other people because they're not important. We don't do that if you truly love God. And then when you're reading on verse 5, it says, it thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, verse 6. But 7 says that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And so before thinking about this for the text today, I hadn't previously thought about what does that look like? But again, it's more about what love is. So I started thinking about it and I realized that it is a reflection of who God is. God bears our burdens in exchange for his. Remember Jesus saying that, cast your burdens on him because he'll take care of those things. He'll exchange our burdens for his. There's Old Testament scripture around that as well. Further, God believes in us. And he wants us to know him. So you have to go back to the scripture way back in Genesis where God is creating us. He already had the plan in his head because he knew what we would do once he created us in his image. We've talked about this before. Because we are created in God's image, we have free will. Nobody tells God what to do. He's the boss. And he's kind of put that in us. We think, nobody can tell me what to do. I'm grown. I'm the boss. But he says, yeah, but if you really love me and if you're in a relationship with me, I'm your boss. And you're going to live according to my will. You're going to do and be like me. And so when you look at that, he's bearing all. He's hoping. God is hoping for us. He believes that we will accept his Messiah and be in right relationship with us. He hopes that we will accept the gift of his Son so that we can live with him in eternity. And he endures through all of the time because he is time's creator. It tickles me to think about how we are, as human beings, are so bound by time. But God is not. He created it. He is outside of time. It's mind-boggling when you stop and think about it, because he doesn't have a watch. He's not dictated by what time of day it is or what year it is, how we've been counting our years. Because next week, that's what we're going to be doing. Oh, another year has happened. One more circle around that sun, right? But God is not bound by that. He has endured all of humanity since day one. Can you imagine? I think I probably would have given up on y'all and been like, yeah, we done. It's a do-over, right? Because he had the flood and he washed out a lot of people, but he didn't wash out everybody. Even then, God knew his plan. I have a remnant who I'm going to save, and the rest of the world is going to be better because of that remnant. You know, it's just fascinating how he endures so much for us. And this is what he expects us to be doing, to be like him. God is the creator of time, and he uses time for his glory to work out his will. He's very patient. I'm telling you, he's long-suffering. And I know sometimes we get caught up and like, oh my gosh, how much longer is this going to take? But if we have to take on the mindset of Christ, we have to take on the mind of God and be patient and keep the end goal in mind, and that will help us maneuver better through whatever situation we find ourselves in, right? If we allow God to work in us. And so the Apostle Paul and John are both saying to us, God is not a theory. He is alive, and he shows us his personality by revealing who he is through the written word, through scripture itself, not to mention the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and reveals God to us. So the first thing that John is saying, that God is love. He defines what love is. And so the second thing that John teaches us is that God demonstrated his love for humanity by sending his son, Jesus, the Messiah. So not only is God love, but he shows us that he actually does love us by his actions. He sacrifices his Messiah. Because it's God's nature to love, he chose to love his creation, especially those created in his image. That would mean you and me. Because dogs are not created in his image. The fish are not created in his image. The stars and the moon, none of that is created in the image of God. Only humanity. We have a special relationship with God. God proved himself to endure through humanity's sinful ways and still chose to send his son to bear our sin on the cross. That's ultimate love. So John's words again, out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let me read it again. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This, John says, is real love. Not that we love God, because we didn't first love him. He loved us first. We didn't even know anything about God. And yet he loved us anyhow. This is what John is arguing. Well, he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So the first Advent account records the story of God's great love for us. He did send that baby Jesus. After all those years of the promise of one coming, Jesus finally arrived. And he sacrificed his perfect, sinless son to be born in this world. But remember, Jesus doesn't stay in the manger. He's not a baby forever. He actually grows up. He goes into ministry, and then he dies on the cross. But God didn't keep him dead, right? He resurrects, he goes back to heaven, and now we wait for his second coming. He worked in the lives of many people, God did, to prove his purpose and his faithfulness. And that's why we have this scripture of all of the accounts of many, many people who God stepped into their life and revealed himself. The Old Testament gives us tons of people. And then when we get to Advent, the first Advent narratives, like Luke, because we've been reading Luke this month, he also highlights some other people that God intervenes into their life. So when you read Luke, he highlights not only the infant Jesus, but Zechariah and Elizabeth. The baby John, because John then is born to them. We have the couple Jesus parents, Joseph and Mary. We have the shepherds tending their flocks, completely not having anything to do with the narrative of who the Messiah would be. But God chooses to go and tell regular, everyday people that the Messiah has come. And then, remember, we talked about Simeon and the prophet Anna. God even reveals to them, he's finally here. And they get to see the Messiah as a baby. That's amazing. So, God is love. He demonstrates his love. And then the third thing that John teaches us is that God expects us to love others. Just as he loves us and created us in his image, to do good works. And I think sometimes as Christians, we forget about that part. We think, oh, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, I'm good. And it's like, not quite. Yes, thank you for believing in the Messiah. And because you believe in the Messiah, your life should now reflect it. And what does that mean? That means we act like God. We try our best to imitate God because we are created in his image. And he expects us to love others, not just the people who like us back, but also those, you know, not so cool people, Dennis, you know, those, that one or two people in your life. Be like, oh. Yeah, even though those people. So that's where he says in verses 11 and 12, John says, dear friends, because God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. So what John is saying is when we act like God, we actually get to see God revealed in each other because we're actually being like God. That's what he's saying. God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. So not only does God expect us to act like him, to imitate him, because we're created in his image, it means to, for real, love the people around us. Because that's how God designed us to be. And notice I said be, not do. Because I think, again, so many Christians, we get caught up on the Ten Commandments. I'm not smoking. I'm not drinking. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. And the question is, well, what are you doing? How do people know that you actually know God? What are you doing? Because stop focusing on the list of the don'ts. What are you doing? Who are you being to the people around you, the people at work, your neighbors? Do they even think, would they ever associate you with being holy? Would they ever associate you with being a joyful person? Would they ever associate you with being happy and being forgiving and being long-suffering and promoting peace? Or are you one of them? They're like, oh, snap, here she goes. I think I have a meeting And then they're grabbing their papers real fast because they don't want to be bothered with you. Because all that comes out of your mouth is judgment, 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 judgment. Ah, why are you doing that? But no, nobody needs that. We don't need that. We don't need that. Focus on who God has designed you to be. Because that's where we win. He expects us to be like him, imitate him, be loving. The New York Times bestselling author Bob Goff says this: love isn't something we fall into. Love is someone we become. I love that. He got that idea from the Bible, by the way, because he's pretty much quoting what God has always said. He's saying what the Apostle John says. Listen to what he says. So love isn't something you fall into. Love is someone we become. Because God is love. We become love. We are imitating God, whose image we were created in. Right? So you don't fall in love with something. You actively choose to be loving. Even when people are not so nice to us. That's the challenge. So becoming a loving person is what John means when he says God's love is brought to full expression in us. When we become a loving person. That's the reaping of the benefit of having Christ die for us. Because now we have the opportunity to be in right relationship with God. And so God is restoring that image of him in us. And we become more like him. So that's what God is expecting of us. When we love with the love of God, how Christ modeled love for us, we fully become who God intended. So non-believers will take notice. And that's when God gets glorified. God's glory is the point of the Advent. God was glorified when the Messiah is realized in biblical times. And he'll become, once again, glorified when Christ returns for the bride. And that's us, those who believe. So as we close, I want to review our takeaways. John has encouraged the saints who read his letters to be confident in knowing God and his Messiah. He argues that God is love, that he modeled how to love, and that he sent his son to die for us. And then John closes his argument teaching that God expects us to be like him, to be loving and to love others. The season of Advent is not just for Christmas time to commemorate the birth of Christ. It's a time to reflect on the second coming of Christ and to actively get ready and stay ready year round. So I want to challenge you today with the words from Paige Clayton, who previously worked for Samaritan's Purse. You all familiar with Samaritan's Purse. So each year, for those of you who are not a part of our congregation, we purchase goods for children all around the world, and we have them in little shoe boxes, and it's called Samaritan's Purse, the program that sponsors those. And so Paige Clayton used to work for that program. So these are her words. She challenges us with these words, and I quote, in this Advent season, as you reflect and prepare your heart for the remembrance of Jesus coming to earth to rescue us, ask God to put someone on your heart who you can love through an act of kindness. Maybe that means taking Christmas cookies to a grumpy neighbor or a family member who's hard to love. End of quote. Because this is what God expects, to be like him. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your holy word. Thank you for the time to pause during Advent and reflect on who you are, who you've designed us to be through Christ Jesus. Help us to be ready for the return of the King. Help us, dear God, to be hopeful, to be peaceful, joyful, and loving. And we want to take on that challenge from Paige. Reveal to us just one person, God, we can love through an act of kindness this very week. We ask all this for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's have our closing song, and then I will come back with our benediction.
So we're going to stand, and we're going to have Silent Night.
Sleep in heavenly peace. May peace of God be with you this very week, that you can share the peace of Christ with others. So go, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that God is with you. As we've learned studying our Advent candles, He is the source of our love. He is the source of our hope, our joy, the peace that we can share with others. So go knowing that. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to share the love of Christ. Until we meet again, God's peace be with you. Happy, happy Christmas.